you can only doubt what you already believe. Now, it is important for us to grasp the very big difference between doubt and unbelief. Doubt is questioning what you believe. Unbelief is a determined refusal to believe. Doubt is in its nature a struggle faced by believers, whereas unbelief is a condition of the soul of unbelievers.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and today we're beginning a new series. It's called Faith with Questions, and today, Colin, we begin to look at this difference between doubt and unbelief.
Yeah, that's right. And I hope that this is going to be really helpful to Christian believers, because I often find people saying, well, you know, I've got questions, as if that was an unusual thing.
Well, I think we all have questions, don't we?
There's no such thing as faith without questions. We walk by faith, not by sight. If we were in the position of having sight and knowing all things, we wouldn't have any questions. We're not there yet. We have faith. We walk by faith. And there are real questions. The Lord Jesus on the cross cried out, why? My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And for a person who is walking by faith, there will always be questions. We walk by faith, not by sight. We see in part, we know in part. So I hope that opening that up in and of itself will be helpful. And then the question is, well, how do we deal with the questions that come to every Christian? And I hope that that's going to bring a breath of biblical fresh air into a very important part of the Christian journey.
Well, let's dive right into that. If you can, grab a Bible and join us in the book of Deuteronomy. We're in chapter 8 as we begin this message, Defective Memory. Here is Pastor Colin.
I very much look forward to the beginning of our new series on the subject of faith with questions, dealing with the darkness of doubt. Doubt can grow when a believer suffers from any one of the following conditions. Defective memory, which we'll consider today, or sometimes because a person has a distorted picture of God, or a deficient foundation, they've never really grasped what the faith actually is, or a divided commitment, where a person wants really to have the best of both worlds, of faith in Jesus Christ and living for their own pleasure, or diminished growth, where faith is just atrophied for a lack of use, or disappointed hopes, where we simply cannot understand why it is that God has allowed a certain thing to happen. Or destructive fears, where fear just seems to overwhelm for us faith in God. We are so pressed by the circumstances that are around us. Or in our last week, we look at situations where we'd like to believe, but we didn't. We are just so afraid that we will be disappointed one more time. Now, I expect as we look at this very quick overview of where we're going in the next 2 months, that some of us will immediately have decided already where our problem lies. And so we've determined that we need to be here in the third Sunday in October or whatever it is, and that the rest doesn't apply to us. Let me make two comments. First, doubt is often fed by a combination of circumstances. And while you may immediately and instinctively, even in these last moments, have identified part of your problem, you may not have identified the whole of your problem. And if you only identify part of your problem, you will only thereby be able to identify part of the solution. Secondly, there may be some aspects of this subject that are not directly applicable to you, but it may be, and never forget this, that God wants to use you to help somebody else who does have this problem. Don't ever come before the Word of God simply asking the question, oh, what's in it for me? God's purpose for what happens here on Sunday mornings is that we should be built up so that you can do the work of ministry that He has prepared for you. And it may be that God wants to use you to help somebody who suffers from precisely the issue that we're speaking about this week, or indeed any other. Now, our aim over these next weeks is not just to diagnose problems, but also to identify some very practical steps for treating these conditions. And so each week, we're going to offer three very practical tools. as we diagnose each of the varieties of doubt that may afflict a Christian believer, we're going to offer within the message a spiritual discipline that you can cultivate, which will be like a prescription for this condition. Well, now, before we read from Deuteronomy in chapter 8 and look at the first root cause of doubt, I want to make three introductory observations that will be important for the whole of our series. And the first of these is simply that you cannot have faith without questions. And that is for the very simple reason that God has chosen to keep many things secret. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29 tells us that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that he has revealed belong to us and to our children. In other words, there are certain things that God has revealed, and because God has revealed them, that makes faith possible. But there are other things that God has kept secret, and because God has kept them secret, that makes faith necessary. That's why the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, "Now I know in part." You see, some of us Christians want to say, "Now I know." Paul didn't say that. He said, "Now I know in part." We know in part. That's why we have to walk by faith and not by sight. So faith lives with unanswered questions in this world. That is simply its very nature. You cannot live in this world without asking why. We live with the mystery of evil. We live with the mystery of suffering. And just as it is part of Christian faith to say we know about what God has revealed, it is also part of Christian humility to say we do not know with regard to the things that God has kept secret. So when, for example, massive suffering comes close to home, as it did on September the 11th, the world will very quickly say to Christian believers, "Well, how do you explain this?" As if faith depended on you having all the answers. Well, of course, if you had all the answers, you would not need faith. The day will come when we will know fully, even as we are fully known, Paul says. But on that day, when we know fully, we will not need faith because faith will be turned to sight. It will no longer be necessary. We will behold him, and every question will be answered. But until then, what we have is faith with questions. And that will be a normal part of the experience of the Christian life. That's the first thing. Here's the second. You can only doubt what you already believe. See, doubt isn't a kind of absence of faith. It is rather a questioning of faith. It is questions about that which we believe. You can only doubt what you already believe. So, for example, when a Christian doubts, he has some questions in his mind about whether God really exists or whether God is really good. The Christian believes that there is a God. The Christian believes that God is good. And so doubt for him is to question that belief that he holds. Now think about an atheist for a moment. What would it be like for an atheist to doubt? Think about it. When an atheist doubts, he fears that maybe God exists after all. He's doubting the premise that he believes. What's it like when a communist doubts? When a communist doubts, a communist saying, maybe Karl Marx's vision of the utopian society isn't everything that it's cracked up to be. You can, by definition, only doubt what you believe. Doubt presupposes some kind of faith, and therefore when we talk in this context about the doubts that Christians may have, we are presupposing some kind of faith. And that is why our working definition of doubt is spelled out in the title. It is faith with questions.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Defective Memory. It's part of our series called Faith with Questions. Today we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to pause here, but we'll get back to the message in just a moment. If you ever miss a broadcast, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free, and you'll find it at your app store. Simply look for Open the Bible. Well, whether you listen to this program online, through the app, or on the radio, it is all made possible through your generosity. So thank you for giving and supporting this ministry. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a book that Pastor Colin has picked. It's called Always Good News, and it's a great way to explain the gospel in just 4 words. We'd love to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. Find out more, give online at openthebible.org or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
So number one, you cannot have faith without questions. Number two, you can only doubt what you already believe. Number three follows. Number three is that doubt and unbelief are therefore very different. Now, it is important for us to grasp the very big difference between doubt and unbelief. Doubt is questioning what you believe. Unbelief is a determined refusal to believe. In other words, what we're saying is that doubt is in its nature a struggle faced by believers, whereas unbelief is a condition of the soul of unbelievers. Unbelief involves a spiritual blindness and a determined resistance towards God, so that when Paul was persecuting Christians before he came to the knowledge of Christ, he says, looking back on that experience, I acted in ignorance and unbelief. What he's saying is, I was ignorant. I didn't understand the truth, but my problem was deeper than that. It was unbelief. I was inwardly resistant towards the truth. And that was his spiritual condition. And of course, the only cure for that condition of unbelief was what happened on the Damascus Road when the Apostle Paul was wonderfully converted. He discovered that Jesus is Lord. And making that life-changing discovery, his whole disposition of soul was changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what moved him from a position of unbelief to a position of faith. Now, there may be some among us, and you've come here this morning thinking, now, my problem is doubt. It may be for some that your problem actually is unbelief. The issue isn't so much that you doubt your faith, but that you do not have a faith to doubt. The issue is that you need to believe that which God has revealed. Let me just tell you some of the things God has revealed, and you can check off in your mind whether you deeply believe them. That God has sent his Son into the world. That the Son of God loved you and gave himself for you. You believe that? That he's risen from the dead and that he's ascended to heaven. Let me check off a couple of things that God says about you. You're more wicked than you ever thought, and at the same time, you're more loved than you ever imagined. You believe these things? And you need to act on what God calls you to repent of a self-centered life as he offers you mercy and pardon and forgiveness through his Son, Jesus Christ. He offers to you the presence and the power of his Holy Spirit so that you may be able to pursue life on his plan. Now, are these things that you believe? It's very, very important as we consider our own position, or indeed when we're trying to help someone else, to discern the difference between doubt and unbelief. They're two entirely different spiritual positions. When Paul saw the risen Christ on the Damascus Road, he was so overwhelmed by the glory of the Lord that he fell to the ground and he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? There's a whole world in that. Lord! You see, this man's been humbled. He's no longer the captain of his own life. What do you want me to do? It's more than signing off on a creed. This is a man who has discovered that all that he has and is and ever hopes to be belongs to God, and he's placing his whole life at the disposal of God. Now, that's faith. It's faith. So a very foundational question is my difficulty right here and now that I am doubting my faith, or is it that I do not yet have a faith to doubt? There's a big difference between doubt and unbelief. And I want to encourage you by saying that Paul moved from unbelief to faith through a miracle that God worked in his life. And there may be some among us right at the beginning of this series, and that is precisely what needs to happen in your soul. And God will do the same for you. He will work that same inner miracle if you will ask him through his Son, Jesus Christ. Doubt and unbelief, very different. And so my prayer is that God will use this series to help those who struggle with doubt to understand what it is and to find their way through darkness. And secondly, that those who struggle with unbelief will be led to a miracle of new birth. And that thirdly, God will equip all of us to minister to others who have faith with questions. Well, now, will you have your Bibles open, please, at Deuteronomy in chapter 8, as we get into the first of these root causes this morning. We're going to follow a very simple outline for the rest of our time and indeed throughout this series. We're going to look first at symptoms, second at diagnosis, and thirdly at prescription. Now, there is a sense in which the whole of the Old Testament is the story of how a group of people lost and then rediscovered their faith. God had brought his people Israel out of slavery in the land of Egypt. He'd made himself known to Moses. He'd made a covenant with these people. He provided for them miraculously over a period of 40 years as they had lived in the desert. And now after 40 years, when the book of Deuteronomy was being written, the generation who had been slaves in Egypt had died, and a new generation was ready to enter the land of Canaan. Now think about this new generation. They'd been born in the desert. They'd seen a miracle every day. Now, some of you say, oh, if I could only see a miracle once. These folks saw a miracle every day as God provided manna, their food, and quail in the evening. They had more faith than their parents. Remember, their parents had been the generation that had doubted and had retreated from Canaan. This generation, now standing on the verge of Canaan when the book of Deuteronomy was written, they were ready to lay down their lives so that God's promise and his purpose would be fulfilled. And Moses is now an old man as he speaks the words that are recorded in Deuteronomy. And Moses must have had great joy in addressing this rising generation who are living on the cutting edge of faith. But Moses was a prophet, and God had shown him how the radical faith of the new generation would be seriously tested in the future. So Moses, an old man, gets up to speak for the last time. And before this new generation, born and raised in the desert, he gives his last message. Let me tell you what's going to happen. He says, first, God is going to give you the land. Everything that he promised is going to be yours in all its abundance and in all its goodness. Verses 7 to 9, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, springs flowing in the valleys, the hills, a land with wheat and barley, a land where bread will not be scarce, you will lack nothing. God's going to give you everything you've always wanted in your life. And when that happens, Moses says, you'd better watch your soul. Look at verse 12. Please look at it because I'm going to read from the radically revised version which was written last Friday. Verse 12. When you get used to eating out with your family, and when you have that two-level house with two cars in the garage, and you finally land the job that you hoped for, and finally your stocks do go up, then your heart will become proud. and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of slavery out of the land of Egypt. I don't know what it is that you've always wanted, but Moses is saying that when you get it, your faith will be tested. And that might be for some of us to be on that sports team. It might be for others of us to get straight A's. You get it, your faith will be tested. It might be that relationship. Watch what happens. It might be family. It might be a new home. It may be that position. It may be simply in terms of money. But whatever it is, Moses is telling us, understand that success is a far more subtle test of your faith than suffering. It's far more erosive, it's far more subversive to faith, and the reason it is because we don't think about it. It's counterintuitive. You see, we assume that pain and poverty is dangerous to faith, but Moses is making it clear that pleasure and prosperity are much greater threats. You who are on the cutting edge of faith, ready to lay down your lives in entering the land of Canaan, you just watch what happens when God gives you every good and perfect gift. Now, it is right for us to rejoice in the good gifts of God. But if you think about this and apply it practically, what it means is that there may be more danger to your spiritual health on the day that you land the new job than on the day you were fired from the old one. For parents, you should be as concerned for your children's spiritual health when they succeed as you are when they fail. Pain brings its own tests. We'll look at that another time. But the fact is that pain often throws us back on God, where prosperity breeds in us a confidence that makes us feel that we need God less. So as C.S. Lewis puts it, we feel that we are making our way in the world when all the time the truth is that the world is making its way in us.
It's really a profound quote, isn't it? You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Defective Memory. It's the first in our series, Faith with Questions, and today really focusing in on the difference between doubt and unbelief. We're going to continue this message on our next broadcast. If you know you can't be by your radio, you don't have to miss it. You can always listen to each and every program online. Come to our website. It is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, our website address is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener-supported, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a book called Always Good News. It's written by Pastor Scott Lothery, and Colin, I've heard Scott preached the gospel many times at the Orchard where you serve. And what is unique about Scott's approach to the gospel?
Well, I should say something about Scott, the author of this book first. He and I have served together for many years at the Orchard, and he has made a marvelous contribution to ministry. But I think his greatest contribution has been to give a succinct outline of the gospel in just four words. Lord, sin, Savior, faith. And, you know, once you grasp these words as kind of headlines for the gospel, a kind of framework for remembering it, it sticks.
Yeah.
And that's gone right throughout the life of our church, Steve, as you know well. And, you know, this is going to be immensely helpful to Christian believers and to churches to be able to grasp what the gospel is simply and then to be able to communicate it. And I am so thrilled that Pastor Scott Lothery has committed this now to a book. It's in writing so everyone can get hold of it. A clear, compelling, biblical, marvelous outline of the gospel in four very simple words. Learn it, grasp it, and then share it with others. It's going to be really, really valuable for Christians and for churches.
It is called Always Good News, and we'd love to send you a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. Find out more, give online at openthebible.org or call us at 877-OPEN-365. Again, our website is openthebible.org and our phone number is 877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. it may be more dangerous to your spiritual health on the day you land a new job than on the day you were fired from the old one. Find out why next time on Open the Bible.